Hey everyone, this amazing ESO Network show is brought to you by our fine sponsor, Amazon.com. Please remember to shop Amazon for all your geeky needs, no matter what time of the year it is. All you need to do is go to ESOpodcast.com/ESOAmazon or click on the Amazon banner on the ESO Network webpage to go to our e-store. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. Okay, that's enough of me babbling for now. Now on with your regular scheduled show.
Previously on Podcasterole.
Glomer is one of the most underrated cartoon characters of all time.
Some call Glomer the Jar Jar of the PBU, you know. I haven't stepped foot inside of a Subway since, really.
And neither has Jared.
It's true.
You're over at my home every week. Is there a meth lab here?
Not a big one.
I choose him, the one called Kirk. I'm freaking James T. Kirk.
Find out more about Podcasterole now on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Google Play. And don't forget AdamandJP.com and the ESO Network.
You're listening to the smooth sounds of the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. I am your host, The Monster, back to give you a review of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1 and 2 with my co-host, Mr. G. So sit back and enjoy the geekiness from the 70s, 80s, 90s, and today.
So we're actually doing this in a park. This is the first time we're actually sitting in a park after we had some chicken from Bojo Donuts.
Which is a great thing.
Which we waited, which we waited for. And we had donuts this morning from them, and they were great. But then we came back for lunch, and the chicken wasn't all that great.
Waited 3-4 months for that chicken.
Yeah.
Called them, and, hey, you have the fried chicken yet? Like, not yet, but soon. Lie to me again. And I will cut off your finger.
It's okay. Now we know.
Knowing's half the battle. Yo,
Go so, Joe.
Winners.
Well, winners use hugs, not drugs.
Is that win going to be?
It's fine.
Okay.
Peoples is peoples. All right, so let's talk about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1. Since it's both fresh in our memories, and it came out, what, 3 years ago?
2014.
Yeah, three years ago.
Yep.
It still plays really well, even on a small screen. I found myself being more emotionally connected to Peter, especially the beginning scene with his mom dying, and then the very end where he's holding the Infinity Stone and...
Yeah, Peter, take my hand, Gamora, take my hand, Peter, and then you flash back.
Right, and then I started almost bawling at that moment, because I get that moment.
That opening sequence is like just like watching Up. You're just like, what the hell are you doing?
First 20 minutes, I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to start, I can't deal with this.
Good way to open a movie. Yeah.
And then she's dead. You brought up a good point about this first movie, Guardians of the Galaxy, is a better team effort than Joss Whedon's Avengers storyline.
Which I was surprised to find. I watched it last night. They were 1 and 2, and for a while I was like, I like the Avengers a little bit more, but the Avengers worked harder for it.
Right.
Because there was the whole setup of the 4 or 5 different movies beforehand.
Right.
With James Gunn's effort with the Guardians, it's just one movie. No one knew what it was.
Right.
And that was a tremendous risk for Marvel / Disney to take, because like no one knows what this is. And yet it hit, and it hit a home run first time out.
Yeah.
But just that amount of storytelling and the quippiness of it and the freshness of it, and years later you still put it in and it's still amazing to watch.
Right. And I think the argument is that because there is very little known about these new characters, you didn't have to worry about setting up all this extra baggage or canon about who these people are. It's just that here they are, here's the situation, and boom, off you're going. As opposed to, like you said, set up the Avengers, you have to do the Iron Man movie, Captain America, and then Thor, and of course, no Hulk, but...
Which is what you brought up with the whole Justice League thing. It can be done.
Yeah.
But it's got to be done with a competent person that really loves the characters and understands the storyline.
Right.
Which brought me to the question for you about, because you have this thing against the whole, you've done one good, you've started a good franchise, do not write or direct again.
Right.
Which was Joss's seeming mistake. But the weird thing about it is with Guardians of the Galaxy, no one understood the universe better than James Gunn, who created these characters, who came up with his own take on the spin on the characters,
right.
And yet somehow he got autonomy to be left alone. Because there's no mention of the Infinity Wars. There's one mention of the Infinity Stones in
right.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Right.
But just one mention, and there's no crossover.
Right. Nothing. Not even in, well, a slight dancing Jeff Goldblum reference in the credits for Thor Ragnarok, but that's
yeah,
about it.
But yeah.
That's about it. And that's.
And you're watching the five different post-credit scenes, you're like, all
right,
that's.
Right, and it's only if you know what's coming out then, of course, you appreciate that. But that has nothing to do with a damn movie. That's it. I think the problem lies is that if we try to do a Justice League movie without having the individual movies prior to, like with the Avengers, the problem lies is that you're assuming everyone knows who these characters are. Everyone should know who Batman is, Superman, Wonder Woman, the Holy Trinity.
But Cyborg?
Cyborg.
Flash?
Right. Flash is going to be...
You know that from the TV shows,
right.
But then you're going to get confused that's not the same actor in that
right.
role.
And then Aquaman, you kind of know who he is, more or less. He talks to fish, and that's not the kind of character you want. It's like, well, he kind of does that. He's, you know, Seaman.
But, not touching that. Go ahead. Keep going.
So, but like you said, Cyborg. That's going to be a character that, unless you know of it from the comics, the Justice League animated series, or even the challenge with the Super Friends back in the old days,
yeah.
He was part of that team. And that's kind of hard because you're going to have more prominent characters as opposed to Avengers. Everyone seemed to be more on equal footing coming into that team. And like you said, that big moment in which all the Avengers are circled up and the camera does a full 360 and the music really swells around them. That's the moment like, oh my God, this is an Avengers movie. I don't know if we're going to get that exact same feeling. Oh my God, this is a Justice League movie because Superman is dead from the last movie.
But you even had that movie in the first Guardians movie we saw with him when Peter Quill grabs the Infinity Stone.
Yeah.
And there's a whole Peter take my hand thing, and
yeah.
Then Drax grabs on too, and then Rocket, and there's that whole team thing, and you circle around, and that's
right.
Amazing.
Right. So
and
within,
wow, that's a family. They're all friends. They're all suffering together. They're all standing together.
Yeah.
It's iconic.
Yeah. So again, I don't think you can do that with characters that you know about. So either you do it as nobodies,
right?
Then you can do the Guardians DC version, which we're not going to do that.
Nope.
So we'll see how that turns out because that's a whole other discussion about, well, then will Justice League be better than the Avengers? We'll see.
I don't know. I think the problem is you have too many big hitters. I mean, the only other character that's bigger than Superman and Batman is Spider-Man, you know? And you
yeah.
just got him. Into the MCU, and he gets his own movie this July. That's cool.
Right, and he's part of Infinity War.
Yeah, he'll be there, but
that's
later.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, they're just too big. You know, but then they add these minor characters. It's going to be weird. Cause people, I mean, it might spur up interest. I mean, people know Cyborg from the Teen Titans Go thing, maybe.
But then they're expecting to be, like, humor. And then, like, pancakes or stuff like that.
Pizza.
Like a pizza.
Video games.
And where's Beast Boy?
Exactly.
Starfire.
Where's
Raven?
But you don't know this. You know this because your kids are watching. You
right.
may know it on the periphery.
Right. So, again, DC has a lot to overcome. But we'll talk about them when Wonder Woman, hopefully, next couple of weeks, if it hits, and saves the whole DCCU.
And if it flops, it's done.
I don't think it's going to flop because of what's been going on.
I know, it's a period piece, World War I.
I know.
And we're going backwards.
I
it's
know.
A prequel.
Well, look at it this way. It's Battlefield. Hey, kids, you like Battlefield? Watch Wonder Woman in this movie adaptation of the video game. That's what I was just thinking about. It's just like, Because Battlefield's a game. World War One.
So okay. Okay.
So that's how you sell the kids.
Okay.
Yeah.
Your reference is lost on me for the first time in a long time.
Wow. That's because we haven't done this in a while.
All right.
So the thing is, sticking back to the Guardians, one of the things that I loved more about this movie, aside from all the characters, was the music itself. The whole awesome mix of Volume 1.
Volume 1, uh-huh.
That whole soundtrack captures everything perfectly in a moment that you appreciate all those songs that you and I grew up with. And it actually holds, even now, a special place in my heart. When you hear, towards the end again, Peter is hearing the Volume 2 song. No, it's still Volume 1, because he has the cassette. Ain't No Mountain High Enough.
Right, and that pulls the family together.
Right.
It's great.
Right.
And at the very end, and you see the John C. Reilly character and his family that got saved, that Rocket saved. You're like, oh, that's really sweet.
Yeah, and every once in a while when I'm running, when I was on the beach, I listen to that song and I remember all kind of like the hardships getting through this day or getting through every week. And then you remember those kind of feelings and like, I'm starting to well up as I'm running in the hot sun. And I'm like, I can't do this. But it again, that soundtrack works so well by itself that you remember those moments from the movie. And again, normally soundtracks don't work by themselves. In this case, it still captures the flavor of that movie so iconically that when you listen to it, I can't think about help but those feelings again.
But that's what's interesting to me, though. This is not an original score. This is a song you've heard over and over again.
Right.
And yet, just like a music video that you like, that you enjoy, you hear the song, you don't like it that much, but then it's put together with images
in a different
to tell
context,
a story.
Right.
And then you flash back to that when you hear the song and think, oh, that means a lot to me. That,
exactly. You know, or like when Peter's singing, I forgot the first opening song.
God, I don't know.
Well, he's singing to the rat. Whatever that's like.
Come and Get Your Love.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Yeah. Or the Ooga Chaka song. You know that. So it's that kind of moments that I'm like, I didn't care. Like I said, I didn't care what was growing up. I liked it, but I was like, I can live without it. But in this movie, now I'm like, I love that song so much more now. So again, you had great characters. You had a great soundtrack. Ronan, I hated at first. The first couple of viewings, I was just like, why were, like in the Marvel problem of villains, the one and done. Since it's been a couple of years since I've seen it, I was like, okay, I'm fine with Ronan just doing what he's supposed to do. The baddie is still out there. So his purpose is just setting up.
I'm the second banana, but I'm the bad guy for this movie.
Right.
Thanos is the main banana, but you're not going to see him for like a few years. You're not going to see him for a while.
So my job is, you know, this is what I am. I'm done. After this, I'm done. And that's fine. So I thought at first he was like a little bit over the top about him being, you know, overly pompous. But I'm like, screw it. He's fine. You needed to have someone that's over the top. And, but the blooper scene.
Where he's dancing?
That's hysterical.
That dance-off scene is one of my favorite scenes. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Distracting you. It's a dance song. You know, Gamora, hey, give it back. And the thing is, that was funny to me, is like, because it touches back to Volume 2, like, you need someone that dances. Gamora doesn't dance.
She's not a dancer. There are two people in the world, those who dance and those who don't. You need to find someone as pathetic as you are.
Great.
So, one of the things that we liked is that you had Rocket having great moments. Drax having great lines of humor. Gamora kicking ass. And you have Peter doing a lot of pop culture references. So
it's Farscape.
It's basically Farscape.
It's Farscape. But
and it's fine. But there are a lot of things that, like, if my son only knew who the hell Jackson Pollock... Jackson Pollock.
Right, the black light line.
Yeah,
you're
like, God, please. Please don't let him know about art in that sense. Because I'm like, that's a loaded question to say, who the hell is that? I'm like, I'm not going to explain that to you. You can find that up yourself.
And I like the way that they kept the character correct. Because like the whole, he goes, he gets the orb, and then he gets into trouble. And then that woman pops out, and he's like, you, hey, Benite. Benite. You're like, you know, I'm, I... I forgot you were here.
And of course, he names the ship Milano after Alyssa Milano. So there's a lot of 80 nods that you and I appreciate watching this movie, and it has a really special place in our hearts. And I just can't think that could this be done better?
Or again.
And
can you capture lightning in a bottle?
So,
3 years later.
And that was the question, because I said, rarely does a movie with the exact same director comes back to redo or outdo himself in the sequel. It's rare. Godfather 2, Francis Ford Coppola, I think you can argue that 2 is equal, if not superior, to the first one. I don't know. But you can't say, well, what about Star Wars? Well, you had a different director.
Right. What about Robert Zemeckis, the Back to the Future stuff?
I enjoyed 2.
Uh-huh.
Third one I didn't care for.
But the third one is better, I think, than 2.
Well, you enjoyed that because it's
different.
It's different. It's slower pace. I enjoyed the zaniness of the second one, going to the future, going back to the past. So it was playing on itself, and then it gets continued in that storyline. I'm not going to say it's going to be better, in that sense, better than 1. 1 is perfect.
I love 1, yeah.
2 is like, okay, and I think it's kind of almost on par with what we'll talk about with Guardians, that it's, I like these characters, we're on an adventure.
I think the interesting thing about it is, for me, if we're going to talk about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, you like the first one so much, it affects your influence on everything else.
Right.
Because it's like, wow, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1 was an amazing film.
Yes.
It opened you up and taught you about these characters you knew nothing about, and suddenly you're invested in them.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Almost like Lethal Weapon 1.
Yeah.
You know, which also, that's a sequel. That Lethal Volume 2 wasn't that great, but you were so happy to see the characters again.
Right.
It doesn't really matter. It's just the next thing.
Right.
That
they're back again, and so are you. You're part of their posse, so to speak.
And that's another movie that I think that has the same director. It's Richard Donner, I think.
Yeah.
I think all 4 movies.
Because
they got
so
too expensive.
Yeah.
And finally, on the 4th movie, Danny Glover finally broke $1 million. You're the black man. We got Mel Gibson. Who are you?
I did
the Predators movie. Yeah.
We got Chris Rock now. But he's Marty. He's a zebra.
Oh, God.
But, in a nutshell, we both love Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, but not on the same level as Volume 1.
I'm not going to say I loved it.
Okay.
I enjoyed it.
All right.
And yet, it's such a weird mix of, like, well, we're going to take our time to do this. Groot's going to get this thing wrong. That's my underwear.
Yeah.
That's a desk. That's, you know, it's, why are we, you could be doing another scene. It's not really a balanced movie, but you don't care because it keeps going forward with different things you haven't seen.
Well, like I think what we did was that it gave us the, like I said, the greatest hits of, you like Baby Groot, you got more Baby Groot,
you
got more Drax, you got more humor from Drax, you got Rocket blowing up stuff even more so. So everything that you loved about the first movie, you got that in spades in this. But,
and you have some minor character development, which is interesting.
Right. Nebula, I thought, was really good to have that backstory about, oh, that's why she really hates Gamora, because every time she lost, she got changed.
You took my eye out and put it, you took my brain out and put it, like, all right, that's fucked up. I'm sorry that Thanos did that to you. I hope you get your vengeance in the Infinity movie, but I don't know what's going to happen to you.
So,
since there's no connection. But good luck with that.
But, yeah, she did say that one brief line. It's like, you know, all I wanted was my sister. You know, she just, the two of them, after the, she, Gamora was still blowing up.
You know, the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1, there's a line like, you're going to die, and I hated you the least.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, that's kind of affectionate, I guess.
So, but which then it fits, because she, it's not so much of them fighting, it's just, unfortunately, this is what happened. They got a really screwed up family. Gamora's parents were killed right in front of her, and Thanos took...
Right, adopted him, and taught me to fight, and tortured me. Yeah,
right.
It was
so,
lots of fun.
It's, yeah, very dysfunctional.
So are most families.
I know. And I kind of, like, that's why the first one worked, because everyone had lots of different paints. Like, you're not the only one that's lost people, like Rocket said.
Right.
You're not the only one. Boo-hoo! Your family's dead! And then Gru's like, oh. But that's the thing. Sometimes we get so caught up in our own bubble that I'm like, you're not the only one that's going through a shitload of problems today. You know, if it's not about, you know, your kids having poor grades, or your finances, or your failing health, or some, everyone has shit to deal with. You're not the only one. But sometimes you get so, my world is just this. I can't think of anything else. And it feels like that's my whole world. But when you're with other people, and it's like nothing makes you feel better when you have to hear someone else's problem and they're worse than yours.
Yeah, that's a group therapy. That's the group therapy thing. I was put in group therapy once, and it was like, okay, so everyone's to tell about their problems. I told my problem, someone else told their problem. I'm like, wow, you three other people have worse problems than me. I'm going to be okay.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Like, is that shit? Okay. All right. I'm going to be good. Okay. I'm good. Thanks.
Therapy's done.
Hey, do you want to go on a date? You do? Awesome. Wait, you have codependency issues. Oh, wait. Okay.
I know you have low self-esteem issues, but that's okay. We can work around that.
Just after I'm done. No kidding.
Okay. Remember, money's on the dresser. What? Oh, Jesus.
Too cold. I know. So Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. What did you like about it? I mean, it's not perfect. It's boring and slow. I like the fact that Ego is not in the trailers at all.
Yeah.
You get a surprise villain.
Yeah, which is supposedly one of the things that I'm like, there was great humor in the first trailer release with Rocket and Groot and Peter. And I'm like, this is going to be great. But then that's the problem. That was one of the big laughs about
the bomb. Yeah, I agree. I think that the whole thing, they give away too much in the trailers. These are the funniest scenes, and it's two different battles.
Yeah.
The first battle, which is just a random start, which we're just doing the opening sequence.
Yeah.
It's got nothing to do with the movie. Just the opening sequence. You're just watching Groot dance, and then... And,
right. So again...
Destruction of Ego.
You love Baby Groot, you got more dancing. So it gave you everything in space, but the problem lies is that the whole Peter storyline... It had to have been done, but it just kind of slowed everything down to a crawl. But the surprise to me was, again, how it all ties in. And after watching the first episode, or the Volume 1 movie, Yondu plays a bigger role in this movie at the end. Because when you find out the story about why he was dealing with the kids... and breaking the code, and I'm like, oh my god, he's dealing in child trafficking.
Yeah, I was just like, man, no wonder you're not part of the Ravagers. No, that's terrible.
So I was like,
you broke the code, you brought in kids.
I'm like,
oh,
I'm sorry,
okay.
This is Disney,
I'm
right?
Uncomfortable, yeah.
I was like, oh god, no. But then we find out his story about how he purposely kept Peter because of what he found out, what Ego was doing to the other kids. But then you find out that it's him.
He's a good guy. Like, because right. There's that line, why are we letting him go? Why do we take the? We can get more money for this.
Right.
Why do we always take a quarter of the percentage?
Right.
And then they revolt, and you know.
So it that kind of moment really to me saved the whole movie at the end because of the whole father issue. Because it's not the biological father; it's the guy who raised you. So again, because I was raised by a stepfather. That's the kind of the connection that I got to it, and that's why I was really happy with that. Because it spoke more to me on that issue growing up.
But the interesting thing to me about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 is that, okay, it caught me off guard. I had wanted to see Volume 1 first, and then see Volume 2. And if I'd done it that way, I would have had a better experience. Didn't mind Volume 2 standing on its own after, 3 years?
Yeah.
But was taken out of it a little bit. Now that I've seen Volume 2 and now rewatched Volume 1, I want to go back and see Volume 2 again.
Yeah.
Closer to the time because I'll get more of an experience out of it.
I agree.
Which is the goal, because the goal is get my ass in that seat more than once.
Right. At least within first 2 weeks.
Right. You'll get me once.
Yeah.
You'll get everyone once. But can you do it again over the next 6 weeks that it's out?
Yeah.
And yes, I will try to, because I liked it in 3D.
Yeah, that was the one thing I forgot. I never did talk about. How was the experience with it? Did it just feel like Star Trek Beyond, like it didn't add?
Star Trek Beyond was fucking awesome in 3D.
Right. So it added the whole, the Franklin moment. It was amazing. But here, I really couldn't, other than the beginning of Groot dancing and the background being blurred out, basically.
Yeah.
I don't see any other big sequences that I thought that it would be, like, amazing. Maybe on the world.
Ego's planet thing. Yeah. I don't know. I was told to watch in 3D. I saw it in 3D, but yeah, you're right. I wasn't blown away by it in 3D. I could watch it normally.
Okay.
Because the thing is, it's amazing special effects, but you don't need it in 3D.
Okay.
The first time, yes. Second time, not necessary. Right. You can do it if you want, but it's not mind-blowing.
Okay.
But... Oh, God, but let's talk about the horrible... When Ego was explaining his past, and I was like, the CGI was like melted ice cream people figures that looked. I was like, did they run out of the budget? What the fuck is? I mean, it's
it looks like claymation.
Right. It was awful. Like, you know, I was like, that's not great.
It's like Pee Wee Herman. Hi, I'm Penny, and there's the pennies in the eyes, and I'm like, okay, we're doing claymation now.
You're still wearing Ravager clothes. I don't know.
So I guess every encounter he had the hair big and poofy, and everyone loved it around the galaxy, and he's kissing every living thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
he's Zeus. Oh, I'll be a goat. I'll be this. You're like,
but he was the exact same thing for everybody. He doesn't change.
Yes, but only Peter's mom was able to produce that. The offspring, and I'm alone. Your motivation there, Kurt Russell, or Ego, is just, I just want to be alone. That's it? You just, okay.
Right, until somebody. You find out, like, oh, no, that's not what you wanted. You want a little bit more.
Want to dominate everything and make it you.
Yeah.
Which, again, that was weird that, okay, oh, no, this huge protoplasmic blob
spreads
across miles and then kills a whole bunch of people, then stops.
Right, because it got distracted.
Right, and then we're okay. We're okay for like an hour. We're close to it. We poke at it. The police are there. They set up a perimeter. Like, go back to your home. Go back. And then it continues to drive and kill more tens of thousands of people, organisms all over the galaxy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that... So how are you the Guardians of the Galaxy when this shit happened?
Yeah.
It's a big swath of people.
Oh, and then... Aside from that...
There are plot holes.
I'm sorry. Why do we have fucking Howard the Duck again? Once you're out of luck, you gotta go duck. Come on! You gotta stop doing that shit. I hate Howard the Duck.
I
had to explain to the kids, what the hell is Howard the Duck?
Just give them the 1986 movie. they'll never ask the question again.
George Lucas thought, hey, I got a great idea. I'm going to use ILM to make this great movie.
With Tim Robbins and Leah Thompson.
Which only Gene loves.
Because of Leah Thompson.
Because of Leah Thompson.
1985, she's in Back to the Future. 1986, she's in Howard the Duck.
And then which year is All the Right Moves?
Oh, God, 1983.
Okay. So there's a progression of years.
If I ever meet her in an elevator.
Like Kermit.
Muppet Show reference, Google it.
Google it. So yeah, that was the one thing I was like, oh my God, really? Are we fucking doing this with Howard the Duck? But he was one and done.
Did Cosmo show up?
Cosmo was there.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you bring back all your characters.
Right. The Watchers were there. I was happy with the Watchers.
I was thrilled with the Watchers. And the fact that Stanley's there as well, talking about the time he was in Civil War. I played a FedEx guy.
Yeah.
Tony Stank. That's an interesting thing. That's a step. I love the Watchers. Just seeing them, I was like, wow, bigger universe.
But the question was, and then of course this was the issue, it's like, but that can't be if this came out after.
Ah, but did it? Well, you're right, because the thing is, the whole movie is told in flashback.
Right.
It's told shortly after the 2014 movie comes out.
Right.
Because Groot is still a baby.
Right.
And then one of the final post-credit scenes, he's a teenager. So suddenly we're back in normal time. So...
We'll see. I mean, it's not so much of an issue for me that I'm like, it destroys the movie. I couldn't give two rat's ass about his storyline. I just wonder, I say, hey guys, do my lift. And I'm like, but I forget it. Just let it go. Just, it's the cameo. There it is. Move on. It's fine. But my thing that I was expecting, when I did a podcast for work at my with working with some teams, we're talking about Guardians of the Galaxy, what to expect or what I thought was going to happen, was that Michael Rosenblum, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, the guy who played Lex Luthor in Smallville and Sylvester Stallone, were going to be doing Silver Surfer and Galactus. Because the rumor was they were going to be in this movie. And there was some kind of cryptic answer about, well, Michael is kind of like the assistant to Sylvester Stallone. So it kind of seemed like, well, if you're doing this out in space, you might have a Galactus reveal. That didn't happen because with Ego being a whole world, and let's say that shit was not working, and lo and behold, here comes Galactus out of nowhere to kind of showcase another character, I would have been happy with that if that was how it gets resolved. Or
Galactus shows up and eats the planet.
And eats the planet.
In the middle of nowhere.
Right. And that would have been kind of cool. But the problem that a lot of people had was that, because he's a Sentinel.
Right.
And in the first one, in Nowhere, you see a fucking head that's huge.
The head
huge.
Of a Sentinel, right? And you see a flashback of a Sentinel.
Right. But right. Then you have Ego, who is just a regular human. Yes, I know he's a size of a planet.
Yes,
but
I was a brain. I wandered the world.
Right.
Then I was able to create life and this and that. And
so the question is he just not, could he be that kind of Sentinel? Or is that something far more ancient than even Ego is?
I don't want to read this comic book. So
okay. So
plus they're going to change stuff anyway.
Right, exactly. Because again, no matter how much you may like or dislike the comics, it doesn't make a difference because MCU has its own world.
We're going to edit this to fit our needs. Because we don't have Galactus anyway.
I know, which is the other thing too. It's like, well
you were expecting that?
I was hoping for that. I would have been ecstatic.
There were rumors that they were going to give over the Fantastic Four. I don't think that's actually happened
well,
yet.
Well, that's a whole other issue.
That would be awesome. But
yeah. So, at least in that world, that I would have been like, even if it was just for a shot, I would have been really happy. But the other thing that when the whole plasma thing crawling over Nova Prime, let's say that it destroys that whole planet, but there's one survivor. I would have been happy, like, we got Nova! And that was it. You don't have to show anything more other than just the one person going to be Nova. That would have been great to set up that world, that universe, that character. But no, they didn't do that. They didn't do Galactus, so I was like,
yeah, but your Nova Prime, your Nova character is in both the Guardians of the Galaxy sets from, like, 2014 and in this one. So where the f- is he? Not in the movie.
Because he was the sole survivor somehow, and I was expecting this, like, no, we don't get that.
Okay, we're getting too nerdy and geeky, perhaps.
Yes, we are. But that's besides the point. So that was my kind of letdown moment. Aside from Peter basically getting kind of shafted in the story. And even though, yes, you had to do the Peter and Ego son-dad storyline, it just, compared to the first one, Peter is a lot more shortchanged as far as humor, shortchanged as far as being a leader.
Yeah, he doesn't get to do much.
Yeah.
He gets to play family time with his dad. He turns out to be evil. And then you're a background character.
Right.
To that whole thing. Because that whole thing has to unravel, and it's Kurt Russell explaining himself.
Yeah.
And doing exposition. And then you stand there entranced because you're kind of buying it, but then I tell you, it really almost killed me to put that tumor in your mom's head after visiting for the third or fourth time.
Yeah.
And then he shoots him, killed my mom, then conflict. But no growth.
Yeah.
No growth, really. Just, this is the end of your storyline with your dad. And Yondu's your dad.
Right. So that's, your real dad.
Yeah, your real dad. But that's, yeah, and then all you get to do is yell about tape.
Which, did you ask Nebula? Yeah, he did it. But that tape bit was just like, really? You could have cut that out and it would have been fine.
There were a lot of weird things in this movie. Because, I don't know, the writing for this movie, for me, felt really uneven.
Well,
I get that it was working, you know, the whole, like, Gamora and Nebula have to have their scene together
right.
And have a resolution together. Rocket and Yondu for some reason have to bond.
Yeah.
But it was just like,
It kind of worked.
It didn't feel organic to me this time.
Yeah.
First time it all flowed well.
Yeah.
But this time I was like, no, well, let's put these characters together. Let's put Drax and Mantis together.
That's because of James Gunn doing the whole script himself.
As opposed he started to, writing it like when the first movie came out.
Right. And like he said in Empire, it's like he knew exactly how this was going to end. Yondu was going to die and Ego's dead and all that, blah, blah, blah. So that's fine. And I don't think I would have changed it plot-wise. I think the pacing was a lot different.
It's fine. I don't mind it, but it was weird. It feels uneven. It feels choppy to me at points. The thing that scares me the most was the whole Starhawk and the old 60s Guardians of the Galaxy showing up at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
That really disconcerted me, because James Gunn has said that, okay, by the end of the third movie, we're going to be done with this iteration of the Guardians. I don't really want to see the 1960s or 70s version of the Guardians taking their place, because those are not characters I'm even remotely interested in. And I don't really enjoy the performances of Sylvester Stallone in any movie I've ever seen him in.
Well, it's not that it's bad. It's just that, you know what? Go stick with your Expendables 4, 5, and 6, whatever.
And I'm sorry, you've got Sylvester Stallone and Kurt Russell in the same movie? They don't share a scene for the Tango and Cash?
No, right.
just come on, that'd be cute.
Yeah, don't drop the soap. Oh, don't be flattered.
It's from the 80s. No, 80s, 90s, whatever.
80s, 90s, and today. Light FM. So, I was okay with that. And it didn't bother me that it didn't have to do everything 80s, but I felt very devoid of looking through Peter's eyes, that world, again, like we had in the first movie. All the pop culture references, making references, calling this guy a Ninja Turtle. It was funny because he was our linchpin. Here, I just felt, I don't know who to really hang on to go through the story, because I really couldn't feel Peter's pain or feel that connected to him, because he was, again, everyone else was doing great stuff, but his stuff was just...
But he got to play catch with his dad.
Yeah, and it was this short of, Milton, and he will come. What? I said, Milton, and he will come to play catch with me.
I did like the way that they incorporated music into the whole movie. The way that everyone likes the music.
Yeah.
And yet the music somehow is disappointing.
Yeah, except for Brandy being played a lot more often than I care to. It actually was more impactful for the song, but it didn't have the exact same feeling like, oh my god, I can listen to this Volume 2 soundtrack by itself.
Yeah, all day long. No, you wouldn't be able to do
that. And I looked at the listing and I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to listen to this because I don't remember who these people are.
Let me listen to it. Do I remember any scenes? No.
No. So that's, I think, another disappointment was because of the soundtrack not being as good as the first one. I didn't feel that emotional connection to be like the icing on the cake.
The movie's not that memorable.
It's funny, but like
you said, don't remember. You forget it like in a day. Like, what, did I watch that movie? You do remember watching it, but there's no amazing things that happen. It's just character growth.
Yeah.
A little bit of character growth, a little bit of plot development. We finished with Peter's dad. We got two more crew members.
Which I love Mantis. I love being Mantis.
You know, if you have sex with her, she's going to kill you.
As long as I have sex with her. I don't care.
She's praying. Man, no, it's not. That's us.
Whatever.
Yeah, okay. Anyway.
Pray, eat, love. Whatever.
Wow, that almost made it. Things to eat, drink, love, isn't it?
No, eat, pray, love.
Eat, pray, love,
yeah, it's only three. And your world is a lot more drinking. Less eating.
Julia Roberts, what are you doing here?
Praying. Praying for a career.
Yeah. Tinker bitch. All right, so.
Wow. You didn't like Hook?
I don't know what I like.
I used to like Hook. So I watched it again. I'm like, I can't believe I used to like Hook.
That's Glenn Close. That's Phil Collins. Look at this. Bob Hopkins.
Oh, God.
Run home, Jack. Run home, Jack. Oh, sorry. Home run, Jack. that had Robin Williams in it. You made me sad.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Debbie Downer.
It's official. I can't have kids anymore.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So, aside from that, what other issues did you have with Guardians?
It's the funny thing to me is I like the characters so much from the first movie. But again, watching the first movie recently, the effects in that are so amazing.
Still,
The Nova Prime Tholian web thing.
Yes.
The fact that those ships fly and defy the laws of physics. That epic battle.
Yeah.
You know, on top of Nova Prime, I'm like, this is freaking amazing.
Yes.
And so many memorable moments. So many things I've never seen. Turning the gravity off outside the area and then flying using the robots. That was just amazing. This movie doesn't quite have those moments, but it's fine because you're with these characters again. It's a fun adventure. Not as fun as the first time.
Yeah, it's like watching Star Trek 3.
Yeah.
You saw Star Trek 2. I loved that. It made me cry. And then, oh, okay, so we're another adventure.
It's a follow-up. Yeah.
It's not as good, but you're there.
Kirstie Alley's not here because now she's making money on Cheers. But not as Diane.
Yeah,
but,
like, you know. Who's Robin Curtis again?
Yeah, I don't.
Sapphic?
Yeah, kill her. Kill. Oh, no, you can't kill her because she needs the.
You Klingon bastards.
That weird finger sex thing with Spock.
You killed my son. But do you think she was pregnant? I don't know how. She was going through Pon's Far.
Okay,
I'm just saying, she could technically have an offspring and just kind of kept it quiet.
We're really talking about Star Trek 3.
I'm just saying, it's that
Savick's character.
Look,
from the finger scene,
you do the Pon Far. It's no one's around. David doesn't care. You got to do something to.
David is dead.
You got to do something to kind of like ease his pain. Come on. It makes sense. Tuvok got it from Neelix.
A hologram.
On a hologram.
Yeah, look, Tuvok, I can do this. I can duplicate your wife.
Right.
Says Tom Paris.
But then, you know, once you turn off the program, someone's going to have to clean that spot off. I'm just saying. It's organic matter. It does not get dissolved.
Right. Getting back to Guardians of the Galaxy Part 2. I am not prepared for this conversation.
All right, so aside from that, the end credits, I think just sticking around for the whole end credits thing. So sticking around for the whole end credits thing where they played 5 post-credit scenes, which almost felt like, yay, this is funny, but it didn't go anywhere.
No, it didn't tie up to the MCU at all. Just, duh, Guardians of the Galaxy 3 will be in here in like 3 years.
Yeah.
With Adam Warlock, apparently, which we teased you with in the collector's thing in the first movie.
Right.
But now we're doing it again, because we got these gold people that are there for weird reasons.
Okay.
Because Rocket stole the batteries. If you've been honorable thieves, you know, we would have been here at all.
Shut it. Wait till we get on the Milano and then say, hey, by the way.
You want to buy some batteries? They're energizers.
Oi!
Hopefully he's learned from that. Don't mess that up.
So, and again, I think there was a lot more emotion coming from Rocket, dealing with a lot of stuff that, again, being called trash. What was it called?
Oh, Trash Panda.
Trash Panda.
That's bad. Is that good? That's good. Much worse.
It's much worse. Triangle face rat. It's like trying to. Like, I got a lot with triangle face. So, I got to appreciate Bradley Cooper a lot more as Rocket. I hate when he was on Alias. And I'm
well,
like,
that's not who I am. I'm this.
And I'm like, that was the one thing I hate about Alias. Like, please, I don't want to see any more of him.
What about the vampires at the end of season 5?
The
one they
the
cut
Russian,
short.
Oh, Jesus. The Russian zombies, vampires, whatever you want to call them. God, that was so damn awful. So, what else can we say about this movie?
It's fine. It doesn't stand out, but it doesn't need to. It is watchable. It is rewatchable.
Yeah.
It's not, go see it right away. It's kind of like matinee. Catch it when you can, but it is definitely part of the universe.
Right.
You'll see it again. You don't. Everyone will see it once, and then you'll wait. Maybe you'll see it again.
Yeah.
It's okay. in my opinion. It's not great, but it's fine.
Oh, and there's the other thing.
It doesn't piss me off in any way, shape, or form. It's good enough to, like...
Right.
I'm not angry with this movie at all. It's entertaining. A little long in the plot.
Things, yeah.
A little something does, but it's fine.
Right. And we talked about how in most of the Marvel sequels, the second movie never really measures up to its first. Iron Man 2 really kind of slowed down a lot because of multiple storylines, Whiplash.
But a villain you didn't care about.
Right. And then you had Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. all in the mix, all of that. Because,
wow.
Which, after some time, I'm like, okay, it's not as bad as I hated first. But compared to the first one, no. No comparison.
Well, this isn't bad at all. I mean, this is like...
It's
like
better.
Winter Soldier. Winter Soldier was fine. Winter Soldier raised the bar.
Yes.
This doesn't raise the bar. It comes close. It's okay.
Yeah, it's Star Trek 3, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Star Trek 3.
Go right back to that. You bring us here. I need my pain.
No, that's Star Trek 5.
Whatever.
But he blew up the Enterprise. That was cool.
Which
never
is
saw that
thing.
Before.
That's right.
You got to watch Star Trek 3 for that.
Right. So
even
you get that one moment.
Lloyd in it. Yeah.
Right. So you get that one moment like, oh my God, what'd you do? I blew up the Enterprise. Fuck. How are we going to get home now?
We used the Klingon ship. That's fine.
It's like, oh,
no, but that's a great
that.
Scene. That
no,
have
it
I,
is.
My God, Bones, what have I done? What you always do. You give us a fighting chance to live. You know, it's great.
So here, it's like, well, you obviously, you crash to Milano, and all you got to do is...
Spray paint it, yeah.
Spray paint gun.
We can create matter out of spray paint.
Wow, that's
wow,
incredible.
All the technical electronics shit. Okay, good.
Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. So, it does, and in the realm of all the other sequels, hell of a lot better than... Thor Dark World.
Which you didn't like. I didn't mind it.
I know, but...
We have different roles. Like,
I know.
It's entertain me. At least it's fun.
Compared to all the other sequels, this is probably one of the better ones overall, but not compared to the first one.
I liked it a hell of a lot better than I liked Age of Ultron.
Yes, Age of Ultron.
Which flopped in my mind. It was like, what... he had studio interference.
Yeah, I that's a whole creative mess. And I think because he had ideas and, like, you had to compromise. Like, well, you want this. You want the farmhouse. Fine, you have to do this.
Right. You got to add this scene with Thor topless.
In the water.
Yeah. It doesn't make sense to your plot, yeah. But okay.
So, in any case, we have Thor Ragnarok coming out, which I got all over excited seeing the trailer again. In the theaters, I'm like, oh, my God, this is so much better watching it on the big screen and then seeing... Hell, just holding that meow meow and just crushing it. Oh my God.
Yeah, we gotta wait till November.
She's hella hot. I love her. Just that one moment, I'm just like.
You remember she was in Crystal Skulls, right?
Yes, I know that. But again, I liked her a lot more now. And it's the hair. She's a brunette now. No more of the time she's like a blonde, but. No, she in Kingdom.
She's got that horrible wig.
The short,
short
bob. They're like, no. But it, again, it's the flavor of the week. So it's Mantis this week. Hela's going to be in a couple of months.
So happy that your wife doesn't listen to this podcast.
She knows. She knows.
Okay.
Again, it's not a matter of what you say, it's a matter of what you do. Am I going to do Mantis? Mantis is not real.
Just be careful where you put your dream catchers.
Dream catchers?
Never mind.
No. I don't use socks.
Kleenex?
Whatever.
Said it. Damn it.
Some poly painting.
Want a black light?
Black light. No. All right, so... I think on that note, we're good. Oh, yeah, the finger.
Finger
on the neck means that death. The death of this podcast.
You know
podcast.
What this is. You know what.
Metaphors go over my head.
I would catch it. Nothing goes over my head. Call me a thesaurus again. I would kill you.
And I think that's what it's those kind of moments that I'm like, you were not expecting. It comes out of nowhere with humor that I'm like, that's funny.
You talk about the first movie again.
Yeah, the first movie.
First movie was brilliant. Script was amazing.
And I think that's what it is. You know, like Rocky is saying, I need that guy's leg.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need...
And that guy's eye. No. Doesn't need the eye. What? So, you see his face? What was his face like?
So it's like, again, you are so taken aback because you have no idea how or who these people are.
You didn't know these characters at all.
And it was just like a fresh palette, and the guy got painted perfectly, and it was like, do it again, but bigger. And I'm like, okay,
try.
And he did. I would say, if out of 100, I would say 90% I was okay with. But the big 10% of that movie was the Peter and Ego story.
So did you love Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2? I liked it. I was entertained. I didn't love it.
I remember
my love is limited.
I love a lot of things.
I know. Mantis. Anyway, moving on.
My thing is that given time, if I look at this movie again a couple years ago...
Right, as you will watch this again.
Yeah.
You will get it on DVD in 6 months. Then how are you going to feel about it?
I'll watch it again, and I'm sure I'll be okay with it.
I think the key is to watch the first one, and then the second one shortly after.
Right.
And then you'll go, okay.
Yeah.
Now it all fits. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Because the whole Nebula and Gamora moments...
It'll fit together better.
It fits. I'm like, I didn't realize it worked that well until I saw the first one, because she does have resentment until then. Well, we know why in the second movie why she does that.
Right. We also know why Gamora's like, no, fuck that. I was tortured.
Right.
Thanos killed my family in front of me, and he tortured me.
Right.
And maybe this deadly assassin. Like, fuck that. I'm going to win.
Right. So right. Basically, you only know one side of the story. Now you know the rest of the story. So that's
but we're all friends now, yeah, so it's fine.
But I'm going to leave. Bye. Bye.
Bye, Felicia.
Bye, Felicia. So, action figure wise, would you get any? Or just like,
well, I'm going to buy them all.
Catch them all.
And the only one I don't want is Deathhead, but he doesn't come with a Mantis piece, so that's fine.
Okay. Oh, and that was the other thing too. I completely forgot the whole Taser face. Jesus, that whole Taser face. It sparks death. No, it doesn't. It's like, so you woke up one day, you looked in the mirror, and you said,
Taser face.
So again, there are moments, and I laughed out loud that this is hysterical. But it's other people and not Peter Quill that I would have appreciated that.
The movie for that moment is, it's very tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah.
It's very winking at the audience and telling a story, which James Gunn does pretty well. It's not a great moment, but it's damn funny.
Yeah. But again, someone got shortchanged, and that was Peter.
Yes.
The guy who runs it all got shortchanged.
But isn't he doing Jurassic World 2?
Yes, he is.
So there's no problem. He can do whatever. He did Passengers.
I know, which I haven't yet to see.
I haven't seen it yet. But yeah. He's doing fine.
Right.
He's not hungry. He's still a nice guy.
He's still skinny.
Unlike when he was doing the G.I. Joe tryouts. Yeah, I'm not going to get this, am I? I didn't know. Why are you here? You're fat. What are you doing? God, I knew. Jesus. Halfway through the audition, man.
So it does get a pass at least. Not a 100% pass. There's issues.
So did you like it better than you liked Winter Soldier, since that is your big number two?
No.
No, you liked Winter Soldier better.
More, yes. Winter Soldier, by far, one of the best sequels to outshine the original.
In the MCU. That's still your favorite?
Yes. I'll give Guardians a close, not a close two, but I'll be number two. But it could fluctuate.
I'm number one, you're number two. No, it's a Muppet.
So, but that's it. Because we're not going to get a Hulk. We're not getting Doctor Strange anytime soon. So we're not going to get sequels for a long time.
No Ant-Man.
No. Well, Ant-Man eventually, but it's a couple of years. So
what's going on with the Ms. Marvel, Captain Marvel thing?
A couple of years.
Shit.
Yeah. Brie Larson, a couple of years. But the it's a duo that I talked about, which they've done small projects together, and I thought, why are they doing this? Well, no, they come as a duo. It's a male and female directors. So the co-directing.
Okay.
And then I looked up their filmography, and they're like, oh, they work together anyway. So it wasn't as if, like, Brave, kick off the director halfway through the movie and say, hey, let's bring
someone
else.
Can you fix this?
Sure, Brother Bear. Got it.
Good Dinosaur? Oh, God.
Got it.
The sad thing was, I watched the Good Dinosaur commentary afterwards. I said, what the heck were you thinking?
Yeah.
And all he has is yes men. Like, so we did this scene. So, Brian, why don't you talk about this scene? He's like, I was the set director for shadowing on this, and we just did this. Like, wow, that's
Yeah.
No explanation about the plot, what happened.
Yeah, so. All right, so I think we're done with our takes on Volume 1 and 2 of Guardians of the Galaxy. And
we're still awake.
We're still awake. And I think the chicken is talking now.
Okay.
I think we need to choke the chicken out. What?
Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast, doing a review of Guardians of the Galaxy, Volume 1 and 2, with my co-host, Mr. Gene. All right, I'm going to stop with the voice. All right, so if you really liked it, please email me. Let me know what you thought. Are we off? Is Gene off? Was the chicken off? Because it was really, really off in my stomach all night. I kid you not. It was really bad. So anyway, monstersciflyshow@gmail.com. Follow me on the various social networks. So again, I would love to hear from you guys. So don't forget to fill out the survey that's in the show notes. Support my podcast so I can get advertisers to support this. So again, do your part. So thank you very much for listening to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. Sci-fi from a certain point of view. Good night.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.